It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome, welcome to the show. I know that several of you that have been with me for a little while know that I'm curious. That is my nature. I am always fascinated with what comes next. Here we are. We have this intriguing, fun, energetic life as we know it on this plane. And then we cross into the next room as what I like to refer to what comes next, the next chapter. So any topics regarding death, dying, healing, grief, what comes after this life as we know it, mediumship. I've had a death doula on that was really fascinating. You name it. So in your travels, if you come across someone that loves to talk about these topics or knows a little bit about these things, please, please, please send them my way. And they can email me. It's thenextroomwithjane@gmail.com. So just have them go thenextroomwithjane@gmail.com. There's a Facebook page. There's a Twitter account. I'm not hard to find. I'm all over the place. So please have them connect with me. And I love to talk about you name it. Anything goes on this show. So that brings me to my guest tonight. And of course, was brought to me through Pamela Osley, who is a dear, dear friend of mine. Pam was just on the show. I believe her show aired just a couple weeks ago. Fabulous woman, really gifted, and has a unique ability to connect with our loved ones that have passed. And she's just, she's the real deal. And she's lovely and kind and generous and all about goodness. And so she said, Jane, I've got this friend, Irene, who you need to have on your show. And I said, send her my way. So of course she connected me. And Irene Weinberg is on the show this evening. It's Irene Weinberg is W-E-I-N-B-E-R-G. She has a fabulous book. I've been giggling ever since I've been reading it. It's called They Serve Bagels in Heaven. It's one couple's story of love, eternity, and the cosmic importance of everyday life. So welcome to the show, Irene.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jane. And if I might say, one of the questions I get the most when people hear the title of my book, They Serve Bagels in Heaven, they want to know, do they come with orange juice and cream cheese? How about a cup of coffee? And there's definitely a scene in the book where they can find out all about that.
That's great. You know, I started reading this book and I was like, well, wait a minute. And I got really confused because of how it was written, because, you know, prior to Saul's death, which is your husband, you started receiving messages. So let's just go there. You wrote this book and it has to do with your beloved husband, Saul, who is now, I like to say, in the next room. You can say in heaven.
He's definitely in the next room on the other side, but he's also all around me because I hear, I get messages from him all the time through people like Pamela, or I have a pendulum. He comes through with that. But let me tell you, everyone, this amazing story. I did not believe in spirituality at all. I thought it was all hooey, ridiculous. Saul and I used to laugh about it. And we were very traditional. We were Jewish people. We were very traditional in our beliefs. And I'm doing my thing. We're married about going on 18 years, and I'm washing dishes in my sink one day. And all of a sudden, and he's watching a football game on TV in our family room, and all of a sudden, a very strong thought came into my mind. And it said, Saul has to go. Many lessons will be learned from his death. And I thought to myself, what the heck am I thinking? This is absurd. And I brought him a glass of water, and I kissed the top of his head. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, if he died, so-and-so would really be sorry because they hurt him in business, whatever. And then I said, this is ridiculous, and I put it right out of my mind. And 2 months later, we were on the New York State Thruway coming home from a weekend. We were skiers, and we had been skiing at Hunter Mountain, and we were coming home. And we had been on the road for about an hour and a half, and all of a sudden, I felt the car go into a huge swerve. And I looked over at Saul, and he was sound asleep at the wheel.
Mm.
And I called out to him, and he woke up. He saw what was happening, And very calmly, he like, because he had, he woke up. He very calmly went to pull the car out of the swerve. And as he did, it was like I was in a gigantic roller coaster, Jane. We rose up in the air and we flipped four times, each time landing on our right side. But as we took off for the first flip, a second message came into my head and it said, he's not going to make it. You are.
Wow.
Now, everything's happening very fast, but all of a sudden I'm connecting where I got this one message. I ignored it. Now I'm being told he's going to die in the accident. And I'm in the middle of flipping over and over and over. And I pull my legs up into my chest and I bend down. And I really think one of the things that saved my life is like I'm 5 foot two and three quarters. And like, there, you know, where something, you know, I was very hurt, but I made myself into such a tiny ball. And I, of course, was in a seatbelt. And as we're flipping over and over and over again, we landed upside down in a ravine. And I looked out, and thank God we took no one with us. And I looked over at Saul and I said, Saulie, are you okay? And I saw that his entire personality had left his body.
Wow.
I mean, he was a charmer. He was adorable. He was funny. And I realized that the message I had gotten was right on. And now I realize in that moment that something is up and that he may, his soul may be still with me or whatever. I'm starting, like, I who had been so close to this world and suddenly being opened up. And I feel the car being turned over because we were upside down. And a helicopter was landing, because I had to be taken to an emergency trauma center. And I see the EMT reaches through my shattered window, undoes my seatbelt, and starts to turn me around and pulls me through the shattered window of my car. And as I'm sliding through the window of my car, an unemotional but authoritative-sounding male voice, I tell women, I'd like to tell you it was a female voice, but it was definitely a male voice, trumpeted into my head and said to me, be loving and kind to everyone, as they laid me on the side of the road.
Hmm.
Well, I don't know about you, but that would tend to change your cells as they're multiplying, I think. I mean, I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, I know my husband's dead. A helicopter
is
hovering nearby.
You knew in that moment that Saul was dead.
I knew, because when I said to him, honey, are you okay? Saulie, are you okay? I saw that his entire personality, I saw that he was dead. The life force that was Saul was gone. And I knew that the message I had gotten was right on. And now I get this other message, and so it changes my personality. I'm bleeding to death from a torn artery in the bottom of my foot. They're putting a tourniquet on my leg. My eye had hemorrhaged. I had like three different operations from the accident. And I'm being loving, and instead of screaming for myself, I'm being loving and kind to every single person who comes near me. What's your name? Thank you for coming out. I know it's the weekend before Christmas. They helicopter me to the emergency trauma center. And 3 months after the surgery that saved my life, and I was conscious through everything, the assistant to the surgeon called me and said, Irene, you changed lives in the emergency room that night. We never saw anyone react and we've seen tons of tragedies on the New York State Thruway. We've never seen anyone react the way you did. And I said, I had an amazing spiritual awakening in the beginning of the accident, and right in the middle through the accident, and it changed my life. And now I'm in a wheelchair after the accident. And I'm dealing with the funeral and the children and the problems and the this and the that. And I am about 6 weeks out of the accident. I'm just now out of the wheelchair, and I get a call from my dry cleaner, because I'm very friendly. And as you can tell, I talk to everyone. And he said, you know, Irene, I wouldn't normally tell this to anybody, but you seem very open-minded. And 8 years ago, my wife and I lost our son to a drug overdose, and we were inconsolable. And we went to psychiatrists and psychologists and grief counselors, and nobody could help us. Then someone told us that the soul goes on to the other side, to the next door. And he said, we have all this proof of survival. Our son is with us. He's on the other side. And there's a young man who's going to be having what they call a gallery, which is when a bunch of people get together in a room and a medium comes forth with messages from their deceased loved ones. I knew nothing about this. I had never believed in it. And he said, if you want, you can come with us to this gallery. It's going to be in a hotel about 5 towns away from us. So I go 2 weeks later. I have no idea what I'm expecting or what I'm doing. I go to this guy's home. I get out of my car and I get into his car and we go to this hotel. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is imagine that my car was at his home 5 towns away. And I was in, was in his home and I was in his car going to this event. I walk in and this young medium, and I'll tell you who it was, before he was famous, looks at me, says, I don't even want to know your name. I want you to go upstairs where people are gathering. And at the time, there were maybe 35 people in the room, and a lot of them were grieving people who had brought someone to take notes. This was in the day before voice recorders and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there, and through the gallery, it was like Saul was waiting for me to see all this proof of survival, like he was saying, someone saying that he shot himself in the head with a pistol, and someone said, oh my God, that's my father. Someone's talking about that she saw her daughter hanging 3 pieces of art just before Christmas. Oh my gosh, that's my mother. So I'm listening to all this and I'm amazed. And all of a sudden he says, I've got a soul on the other side. And he's talking about Dr. Pepper. Does anyone relate to Dr. Pepper? Well, my husband's brother was a big advertising executive on Madison Avenue. And he thought it would be very funny. He put my husband's name in a Dr. Pepper commercial. It was coming east from California in boats and planes and trains. And let's talk to the man in the street, Saul Weinberg, what he thinks of Dr. Pepper, not Joe Smith, John Doe. Now, this had happened 15 years before Saul met me. And now this guy is standing up and saying he's telling me a story about Dr. Pepper. I mean, there was no way this guy could know. It was no even way that would have been something on my mind. Then he said to me, did the guy wear a lot of hats? My husband was going bald. He used to wear baseball caps a lot. Did he like to tell jokes with accents? On and on and on. He's telling me you're wearing his skier charm under your blouse. How the heck did he know that? He's telling me you're driving his car with Saul Z on the license plate. That car was parked 5 towns away.
Wow.
And then he even talked about a joke that only Saul and I shared about my son. He said he's holding up, when my son was very little, he said he's holding up a can of tomato juice. What does that mean to you? When my son was very, very little, Saul used to say that he was so skinny that if you poured tomato juice in him, he'd look like a thermometer. So, like, there was no doubt that, oh my God, Saul's on the other side, and yes, we go on and all of that. Now I call the sister-in-law of mine, who I thought was crazy because she was spiritual, and she said, thank God you called me, because 2 weeks after he died, I was working with a spiritual healer, and the woman said, there's a soul on the other side named Saul, and he says he has messages. And she said to him, what do you want with me, Saul? We weren't getting along when you died. And the answer was, because I thought you were crazy, but you're not. And I'm on the other side, and I have messages for Irene, and you're the only one who's open, and I have to get messages about. There were messages about business, Jane. There were messages about the kids. So now I start to open up, and I start seeing other people. And I'm starting to get, and then that was John Edward, by the way, who gave me that first amazing reading.
No, I wrote him while you were going with your story. I wrote the word trust. And then I wrote John Edward.
Yes.
I knew it was John.
It was like, he was amazing.
Yeah.
Not
so,
only that,
okay.
Saul came through for 35 minutes and John Edward said, how long has this guy been on the other side? And I said, 2 months. He said, this guy's been around the block a lot. This guy is an old soul. And
yeah.
I didn't even know what that meant at the time. But of course, now that I've been in this world, I understand it. And now I'm starting to open up to all these people. He describes his toes to me through someone, his genitals to me through someone, and I'm getting a message that I'm supposed to write a book. And one thing led to another, and I started working with a woman who could get him clear as a bell, and I started asking him questions about what his journey was like on the other side. Have we had past lives? what he's doing over there? Are we soulmates? What does heaven do about evil? All kinds of questions. And I start getting answers. And I wrote it. I was told I was going to write this book and help a lot of people, which it has. And then one thing led to another. I started working with some mediums on my own and assisting them and all. And then eventually now I have my own podcast and I interview a lot of people like you do, Jane, in the spiritual world. And for the purposes of really helping people to understand and change their perspectives about what goes on.
Right. Now, you know, part of this is, I mean, we're open to free will, and so many people have different ideas about what is next. And there's a lot of religious beliefs and a lot of things that you think or were taught or whatever. But I always have felt that it's all love, that we don't have to work through the issues that we had once we're here, once we leave. That's gone. That's just me. But in your book, Saul's talking about working through a lot of issues and missing things that are earthly things. So that's kind of like completely flipped me on my ear of what I think or think I know.
You know, it's interesting because I've read a lot of books that validate what Saul is saying, and they're nonfiction. And that's what he did say to me, that that's why I so believe in healing. And one of the things that I'm doing is bringing out a lot of healers to people, because if you've got issues with people in this lifetime and you could buy into that belief, which I do, that we come back to work things through and to continue to evolve, why do you want to meet the same people who gave you a problem another time around? Don't you want to resolve your relationships? If there have been things that have happened in your life that, for instance, I had an abusive father, and it's been important to me to resolve as much as I can from that and heal that. I've worked with a therapist and all of that. And when I've gone to see mediums, I never ever ask to talk to my father. And he often comes through to apologize and tell me that he's around me and he's learning as I'm learning and as I'm doing. And he's so sorry and he's benefiting from all of this, and that I should not give up on what I'm doing. I mean, I would not believe in this except for the fact that I keep getting shown over and over and over again that it's so real. And yes. So I've been told that when we have issues in this lifetime, sometimes they're holdovers from other lifetimes that affect us. And it's important to heal as much as you can. And you continue to heal when you cross over. Because I've also been told that we get, like I call it the videotape, we feel what we've done to other people. We feel the impact we've had on other people. So one of the things Saul talked about in the book was the fact that in a lifetime, I had been raped and killed, has had our son, and how he had to work on trying to work through and heal with what had happened. And the people who had done that to us could not continue their soul growth until they worked things through with us and, you know, and from their own soul perspective of why they had done that and what had happened. So it's not just a one-time wham-bam and you're out of here.
Sure.
I mean, it's like
right.
a continual chain of
right.
Growth. They call this home, this school rather, and heaven is home. Where we go,
right.
the next door is home.
Right. Do you think there's levels of, you know, we're here and we're learning certain things? Do you feel like when we move on, then we're learning at another level? So
Absolutely.
If we accomplished a certain amount here, if we gathered it up and were kind and compassionate and really all about forgiveness and truly, you know, get to a Zen state while we're in this physical form, then when we leave to cross into the next room, what happens? Like, do you think there's a tier system? Like, how do you?
I think that I've read a lot about, and a lot of supporting material. I know my father's on a different plane than where my mother will land. My mother okay. is like just a very gentle, evolved, loving soul. My mother's joke to the family is, if he's going to meet me when I cross over, I'm not going. And we all laugh with her because my father was a really tough guy.
That's what your mom said about your dad?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I mean, because everybody knows what a tough guy he was. And right. my father, but when you work on forgiveness, I've in therapy and all understood the contributing factors that went to my father being the way he was, but I have to heal the trauma that I suffered from it and all of that. That's my decision, or I can keep coming back, in different roles with my father and keep working mm-hmm. it out. But it appears that we're both working it through now. So I am sure, and I've been told that we arrive, there's not a hell, but you arrive to the vibration that you're attracted to by what's happened to you. And if you don't work things through, you're not going to continue your soul growth until you work that out. So there are healing places on the other side, I've been told. There are people have jobs on the other side. They're working through all kinds of issues, and they're all around us. I know that Saul is around me. He's very aware of what is happening in my life and what's going on in that way. And we do have different planes, and we do have, depending on how many times we've all committed murder, so they say. We've all done these different things, and as we evolve, we keep growing towards love and kindness and mm-hmm. understanding. And I will tell people sometimes you could run into, someone you might consider a little lower level, like a janitor in a building or something, but he's the most wonderful person and he's helping so many people. And then you see perhaps a billionaire who's such a horrible person. Well, maybe that billionaire is not an evolved soul and the janitor is, mm-hmm. And that man just happens to have a lot of money in this lifetime, but he's going to have a lot of lessons to learn from the choices he made.
Well, money certainly doesn't define character.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So if you just tuned in, this is fascinating. IreneWeinberg.com, that's Irene's website. She wrote this book. It's called They Serve Bagels in Heaven. It's available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. It has a sense of humor. And it is her true story of her love affair with Saul. And Saul has passed. And he's a stink pot. He's funny. Like
he was a riot here.
Yeah.
And he's a riot there. Your personality follows you to the other side.
Absolutely. I mean, just his behavior and the language that he's using when he's coming through and he's talking to you about things. It's very humorous. Let me read this one beautiful passage that I just love. I got out my highlighter, which I always have next to my desk. It says, I also got that all the loving consciousness in heaven doesn't come close to matching the beauty of loving another human being. When that love is accomplished with integrity and kindness in the face of all life's fears and struggles, it becomes a common thread that binds together the fabric of human belonging and the planes of heaven and earth. I love that. That is awesome. Irene, this has been a total kick. We'll have to have you back on. The show's almost coming to a close. Just a couple minutes left. Is there something you'd like to share with the audience before we move on?
Just that I would just love for them to tune in. I'd love for them to read the book, and I'd love to hear from them. They can also please tune in to the podcast. They could subscribe to it or tune in through IreneWeinberg.com. It's also on iTunes. It's called griefandrebirth.com. And I think that they would enjoy a lot of the people who we're interviewing, real life stories, people who have all kinds of insights to not only this world, but the world of healing. And the reason I got into this is because when I was grieving so hard, aside from all the spiritual things that happened to me, I was grieving so hard, and I got help from a life transition coach and also a spiritual energy healer. And I interview a lot of people who are healers on that podcast so that people can see that they do not have to suffer so hard. There are people who can help them and people who have wonderful stories that can enlighten them.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Irene Weinberg, it's ireneweinberg.com. They serve bagels in heaven. You can just click right on her website and get the book, or you can listen to the podcast. It's called Grief and Rebirth. And the message that I got loud and clear from Ms. Irene is be loving and kind to everyone.
Absolutely. And as I like to say, Jane, to be continued.
To be continued. Thanks for tuning in to The Next Room.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.